Excellent. All right. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Eric Fair. I'm Barbara's husband and Liam's father. This is my first time giving a sermon, so please bear with me. I'm a little nervous. When Lee asked me to preach for him back in June, I didn't realize that he actually wasn't giving me an option, because he then, you know, followed up with me every single week leading up to his vacation to make sure that I was on board. So I started kind of thinking about what I wanted to preach on. And this past summer, Barbara and I have kind of gone through a lot of different trials. And the Lord's been leading me in a different way than I've ever been led before. And I'm going to kind of just take you through first what that summer looked like and the lessons that I've been learning from that. And it actually kind of ties into the other sermons from this summer from our guest speakers. So I'll also kind of touch on those a little bit. So I just wanted to start by kind of talking about today's media. I'm actually very brokenhearted right now, learning about all of the different issues going on in the world, especially in Iraq, where children are being tortured and beheaded because they're Christian. And if that doesn't break your heart, then we should have a talk after, because it should break your heart. All our media, our news, our pop culture, it displays that as humans, we have this deep-seated desire for a hero, for someone to come through for our greatest needs. Whether that's songs talking about how lonely we are, how much we miss someone, we need someone in our life, movies that show a hero and a villain, and the hero is insufficient for the task and the villain looks like he's about to triumph. All these things are seated within our hearts because we need someone who can come through for us when it really matters the most. Superman, or the Man of Steel, came on the scene in 1938 in his first publication. He was someone who fights for social justice and the rights and the right to right the wrongs of humankind. He was impervious to the weaknesses of mere man. He could take a bullet and it would just bounce off of him. He's capable of impossible deeds that no one in this room could do. And he always comes through when he's needed the most. And he only has one weakness, and that's kryptonite, of course. And the reason that I'm focusing on superheroes is because I think that we have the best version of what a superhero actually is. And all these movies, all these songs, they're talking about the real hero, and that's Jesus. This morning I was actually very nervous about this sermon and kind of going through, picking at it with a comb, trying to figure out, where there's holes, what can I do to, make this, connect better. And I was listening to some songs, and I have a few of them in here. I'm just going to quote one right now. It's "Hold Fast" by Mercy Me. "Hold fast, help is on the way. Hold fast, he's come to save the day. What I've learned in my life, one thing greater than my strife, is his grasp, so hold fast." And that's a perfect picture of what Christ as our hero looks like, is that we can count on him because his grasp is firm. He doesn't let go. And that actually reminded me of Cliffhanger. Maybe some of the older folks in here have heard of that. It's a Sylvester Stallone movie from the early 90s. Explosions and action, but there's one scene where they're on a wire across this gorge, and his friend slips, and he reaches out to grab them, and it looks like he's gonna save the day, but he's a mere human, and his grasp fails, and he slips, and his friend dies. Movies depict heroes who repeatedly come through, but they also repeatedly fail. Hanging on a rope, clutching the person who needs saving, but we drop them. We fail to come through. And I think that that's a really great analogy for everyone in this room. Somewhere in your life, you have failed to come through. I know that I have failed to come through, and that's where God's really been shedding a lot of light in my life, is the areas of my life where I failed to come through, whether it's for Barbara or for Liam or for a friend. I have failed to come through. I am not the perfect image of the hero. Some of the events from this summer that have really kind of tried Barbara and I pretty hard First was the passing of a dear friend of ours. I know the church had prayed for Sean Trank through his ordeal with cancer, and for his wife now as she struggles along to find her new identity in Christ as a widow. The other ordeal, which was a really happy one, and wasn't really during the summer but before the summer, was the arrival of Liam, which for those parents in the room, I'm sure that you can understand that having a child completely changes your life and changes the importance that you put on various different things in your life. And then the third item that really tried us a lot was the being passed up for three jobs by my alma mater this summer. Looking like I was going to be stuck in the same dead-end job with horrible hours that took the focus from family and put it purely on work. God answered my problems, and not really in the ways that I would have wanted him to or asked him to answer those problems. What I needed was what he actually provided. And that's a great picture of who he is that he provides for the needs, not for our wants. Through the morning for Sean, Barbara stumbled on a passage from one of his blogs that really shows hope and strength in the kind of man that I hope to be someday. And I'd like to read that now. This was written by Sean in April 2013, a couple months before he was diagnosed with cancer. Tragedy, brokenness, death, these things are part of this world. Ready or not, we still have to deal with it. It is with great hope and expectation that I rely on the promises of God that Jesus will return and wipe away every tear from our eyes. There is no other person in human history that makes this promise. I know I can trust Jesus because he is the only person in human history to come back to life. It is the reason we have faith. Brokenness is not the final destination of those who have put their trust in Jesus. Death has lost its sting, and though pain may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. I find this extremely powerful, written by someone who, not a year later, died from cancer. And if any of you had kept up with Sean's blog and the updates that we put about Sean, there was a last video that Sean put onto his blog, and that was his final moments with his family. It was his prayer to God that God's will is done and that his family is taken care of. His prayer wasn't that God would heal him. It wasn't for a miraculous healing. It wasn't praying because he sinned. It was praying for others and praying that God's will be done, that God's glory shines brightest in his situation. And I think that that's amazing. I think that that is the picture of someone who trusts that their hero has them firmly in his grasp and who has no doubts whatsoever. And I hope someday that I can be the same kind of man that Sean was when it really counts, that I can come through in the way that Sean realized God was coming through for him. God really showed me that there's a reliance on him that we can trust, that he will come through. And not a couple days after Sean's passing, I was actually notified for the third time from Longwood that I hadn't received the job that I was a shoo-in for. I fully believe that I had this. God set me up for this. He's given me all the credentials, everything I need to do this job, the right contacts. I've made friends with the right people. I've schmoozed the right people. But I didn't get what I wanted. What I thought God wanted in my life, what I thought his plan was. And so dealing with mourning for Sean, learning how to be a new man, a new family person, and then also mourning myself, being completely inconsiderate of others, dealing with not getting this job, I had a very long conversation with God. And part of the conversation I should probably be very ashamed of, because I don't think I was very respectful to our Father in heaven. But I relented to God. I put everything into his hands. I settled myself for working at Aramark for another year, even forgiving him for taking Sean from the world. I didn't really understand why Sean was gone. But the same day that I relented to God, I got that phone call from Liberty that, offered me the way out from Aramark. I gained a new understanding of why Sean was taken. and I'm still learning how to be a good father and what that's going to mean for the future. But my main point is that God comes through in our deepest needs. This is displayed in every page of the Bible. When the Israelites were under the whip of the Egyptians, God came through. He sent someone to bring them out of Egypt. In every story, there's someone in need, and God comes through for them. God answers the calls of those who are in need. Looking back on Judges from when Jason was preaching, God delivers punishment to his children when they're straying from their path and when they're doing wrong. But then he also sends someone to lead them back after that punishment to him. He sends someone to meet their needs and to bring them back to him. These men and women displayed a strength, physical or character strength, that could only be bestowed by God. And they performed impossible deeds, even though most of them only had that single character flaw. Some of them, like Samson, had more than one. But they're pictures of what our superheroes look like. They're pictures of what Superman looks like, of what The Flash looks like. All these different superheroes have these great abilities, and they come through when there's people in need, but they have these singular flaws. Why we'd imagine superheroes with singular flaws, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. In Kings, God displayed his desire to provide for our needs. He seeks us out in the wilderness of our disbelief. He draws us out of our seclusion or out of our caves, the caves that we put ourselves in when we think there's no hope for our situation, or when we deny to let God into our deepest places of needs. We put ourselves in those caves trying to hide from him. But he provides for our needs, and he gives us new hope and new life, and he displays his deepest desire to come through for us, and he does come through for us. So going to Genesis, I know that the three passages that I kind of picked out don't really seem to fit together too well, but I'd like to kind of go through and just, talk to you about my learning from this summer through these passages. So in Genesis 3, you see the fall of man. But it's not just the fall of man. You can easily read through it and say, okay, well, they screwed up. They ate the apple or the fruit or whatever type of fruit it was, and they failed. They disobeyed God. But there's a little bit more going on here than just that. Man is created in God's image, which means that we all have this desire to come through, the same as God. We are created with that same desire to come through when it matters. And this is the first instance in creation where man fails to come through, where he stands by idly and lets his family fall to harm, where he fails God. He fails to come through. So his greatest flaw is his hesitancy to step up. Another song that really stuck to me this morning was Never Once by One Sonic Society. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. And the reason that stuck with me so much is because when I was in the second grade, we had this project that we had to do for Mother's Day. We had about 100 little koala bears that we had to cut out of paper, paste together, and we had to sand the edges so that way it was like a rainbow on the side of this, what was going to be a pin for our mothers. Well, I've never been really good with scissors or glue or art of any kind. And so this did not look like a pin. It looked more like a jagged paperweight made of paper. And being angry at the creation that I had made, that it seemed to just not have turned out the way that I want, I threw it in the trash. Didn't even bother bringing it home for my mom. Like, I was just mad at it. I just did not want to see it ever again. So it astounds me that after God's creation, that the pinnacle of his creation, man, is deceived and falls and goes against his wishes, fails this intent that God had to create man in this perfection. It amazes me that God stuck by. If I had been God, I probably would have left. Like, okay, see you, Earth. I'm going to go and try again. But that's not God. That's not God at all. Instead, he stuck through, and he hung in there to meet our needs. Back in 2009, Barbara and I went to the Urbana Missions Conference in St. Louis. And there I went through a track for future InterVarsity staff workers. Obviously, that didn't really pan out for me. I'm not an InterVarsity staff worker, but I gained a lot of really useful insights while going through that track. And one of them was into John 2, where we see the wedding at Cana and Jesus changing water to wine. Now, weddings back then were an all-week ordeal. Like, they lasted a long time. Maybe a lot like the celebrities of nowadays, where they have these grand weddings that just they go on and on forever. However, back then, the financial responsibility for the wedding was on the groom. And for someone to run out of wine, it was a very, very bad thing. One, you were disgraced. You became the guy who ran out of wine at the party. And no one wants to be that guy. Or if you run out of Chex Mix at your party, no one wants to be the guy that runs out of Chex Mix and doesn't have enough for his guests. So there's also shame with that, that you didn't prepare well enough. One, you weren't rich enough for this idea that you had for your wedding. But your bride's family could also sue you because you brought shame on them. So to run out of wine here, this was a really big deal. Like, these people that knew Jesus, invited him to this wedding, they would have been disgraced. They had a really deep need. So with this deep need expressed, Jesus comes through. His example to come through for us is displayed in how much wine he actually makes. With 6 20 to 30 gallon containers, if you do the math, which I think I did right, I may not have done it right, but nevertheless, it's going to be a lot of wine. If they were all only 20 gallons, that would have been 960 bottles of wine. Now, if they were all 30 gallons, that would have been over 1,400 bottles of wine. And if every bottle of wine is about 16 ounces or so, I mean, that's a lot of wine. I've never seen that much wine in my life. Nor have I ever known of any party that had needed that much wine. I mean, maybe the celebrities nowadays, but you know, regular folks do not need that much wine. I mean, we had 2 cases of wine at our wedding, and we ended up with 1¾ cases of wine after the wedding. So no one needs 1,400 bottles of wine. However, it wasn't just the amount of wine, but it was the quality of wine. The master of the wedding or of the ceremony admitted that this is the best wine that I'd ever had. And that's saying something. Back then, wine wasn't that great. It was fermented and drowned with water because, you know, you couldn't drink the water back then, so it was safer to drink watered down wine. But that being said, this was still the best quality wine that this person had ever had. And the fact that it came out later in the wedding was saying something about how good this wine was. So it's not just the display of the quantity of wine, but also of the quality. And what Jesus shows here is that in your deepest need, he's not only going to come through for you, but he's going to come through for you in ways that you've never thought possible and in the best quality of help that you have ever expected to receive or never expected to receive. I want to touch on Matthew 14, 22 to 32. I know that this wasn't read, but this is Peter walking on water. So the disciples are out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. The wind is whipping around. Waves are crashing around the boat. And they're scared. I mean, I'd be scared. Shoot. I mean, I'd think that I'm about to die. I'd be on my knees praying. Jesus comes out to them on the water and announces himself. And first they think he's a ghost, so they get extra terrified. Because not only is this huge storm whipping around you and scaring the life out of you, but now a ghost is coming on to haunt you. Like, that's not cool. But Jesus announces himself and calms them down. And Peter asks to go out to him, so Jesus invites him to come out. And first everything's cool. I'm walking on water. This is pretty great. But then the wind and waves are just so thunderous that it scares Peter. He begins to doubt Jesus, his abilities, and himself, and he falls. And his first thing is to cry out to Jesus for help. And Jesus doesn't hesitate. He's there. Like, the Bible doesn't say how long it took Jesus to run out to him, but I'm assuming that, boom, like, Jesus was right there, like, instantaneously. And he reaches out and saves Peter and brings him back up. And again, that's just really highlighting the quality of help that God brings to us, that when we call out for help, he's there with an answer for our prayer. It may not be the exact answer that we always want, but he's there to reach out and he's there to grasp us and pull us above the waves or to keep us from falling down into that gorge. And not only did he save them, but the disciples realized how great this was. They realized that God had come through. I know that we don't always realize when God has come through for us. And in the last passage that we had read, Revelation 19, again, this doesn't necessarily fit too well regularly with the prior 2 passages, but this is the greatest picture of what a hero actually looks like in the entire Bible. I mean, it's the image of Christ in all of his glory. It's the picture of our hero riding a white horse. That's a very cliched thing. But back in Roman times, generals would ride in on these white chargers after they had this great victory. And they would display their awesome power. And that's what Christ is doing here. He's riding on that white horse because he has victory. And he's displaying his awesome power. He has eyes of fire showing that his judgment is penetrating and true. He has many crowns on his head. He has a name that no one knows but himself, which really shows that there's deep mysteries of God that not even the saints or the angels will ever come to understand, that he has this power about him that we can't comprehend. He has a robe dipped in blood, not for the blood that will be shed, but for the blood that was shed because of his defeat of sin and death, the battles he's already won. He's called the Word of God, putting him as the image of the invisible God. And he's followed by a mighty army of heaven. And he has a sharp sword, which symbolizes his power to destroy his enemies just with his word. I think that this is the greatest image of a hero that's ever been put into a piece of literature, down onto paper, into words. Like, I've never seen anything, like, the superhero has nothing when compared to Jesus. Jesus has no faults. There is nothing that Jesus cannot do. He is the epitome of what our hero looks like. It's important to notice the transgression with these passages. The first man falls, fails to come to his strength, hesitates, and fails his family. But God provides assistance. He rescues man from his circumstances. He doesn't just leave. He doesn't abandon us because we have this new evil inside of us. But he sticks in there and he provides a way out. He ups the ante and provides a hero who would become our savior, who would defeat the sin and death that have chained us, who has died on the cross to offer us a new way to realize our strength. So God could have abandoned us when we ruined ourselves, but he didn't. His timing and his help is perfect, and it's full. He's waiting for our cry for help. He's waiting for us to let him go into our deep wounds, to stop hiding in our caves, to let him into the deepest places of our hearts. The help he offers is exactly what we need. It's exactly what I need. Our weakness is our inability to let God in. But not only that, to realize when God has already arrived and done work in us. Jesus offers a redemption to us that is more than a releasing from sin and death. It's a restructuring of our hearts and our souls. It's bringing back our strength so that we too can come through when we're in deepest need. To me, this is really amazing. To be able to be empowered to come through for my family, to be empowered to do something in this world of all the evils that are in it, to be able to mourn with others when they have a sense of loss, and to understand why prayers aren't answered the way that we want them to be answered. I can understand now why Sean was taken instead of, you know, healed. My desire and my prayer that Sean would be miraculously healed, because this is a young man. He's only 27. He can't have cancer. He's doing all this great work for the Lord. He should be healed. That wasn't part of God's will, but through my prayer for help for Sean, he really answered it in different ways that I may not understand for the rest of my life, but in ways that I can definitely understand, and that's because it glorifies his kingdom. So just a little bit of food for thought, some questions that maybe we can think about. We don't always think about the things that we're taught or that we read in a way that can help to change our lives, but maybe some questions that we can think about later can help that. So have you failed to recognize that God has shown up? Have you failed to recognize that he's already at work answering your prayers, meeting the needs that you have set forth? How have you failed to let him draw you out of your cave? How have you failed to come through for your family, your husband or your wife, or your children? Who have you failed to share God's love and heroics with? I'm sure that there's someone this past week that God presented to you so that way you could share Christ's love, but not just his love, but the fact that he's willing to come through for that person in their need, and that maybe you failed to share that with that person. Can you let Christ in to reach you in your greatest wounds? And will you let him return you to your strength? And how have you allowed Jesus to become your hero? Will you let him become your Savior? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just the opportunities that we have to share your love and your grace, to let you impact our lives in such a positive way, to allow you to make us into new beings, to come into our souls and our hearts and repair them stronger than they've ever been repaired before. Father, we just ask that you would present us with opportunities in the coming week to show your love and your mercy to others, to allow you to come through for us, and to share your message of your desire to come through and give grace to others. So Father, I just ask that you would bless the rest of this service, that hearts and minds have been opened, and that you've been able to shed wisdom and love on any in the room that really need it this Sunday. So Father, we love you and we praise you. In your name, amen.